This is an NPR News special. I'm Neil Conan in Des Moines, Iowa. Here are headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. A new national intelligence estimate on Iran says the country halted its nuclear weapons program in 2003, but says it is still enriching uranium and may have enough to start producing nuclear weapons between 2010 and 2015. And Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez has accepted his first electoral defeat. Voters yesterday narrowly rejected sweeping constitutional changes that would have greatly expanded the president's powers. Chavez's proposal would have eliminated term limits, allowing him to run for re-election indefinitely. You can hear details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. And tomorrow at this time, NPR News and Iowa Public Radio host a Democratic presidential candidates debate. We're still working to schedule the Republicans. The radio-only debate will originate from this room in the State Historical Museum in Des Moines. Seven Democratic hopefuls will be seated at a V-shaped table in front of me, and they'll take questions from my colleagues, Robert Siegel, Michelle Norris, and Steve Inskeep, who you hear regularly on All Things Considered and Morning Edition. If there's a question or an idea that you'd like to hear discussed tomorrow, well, this is your chance. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk at NPR.org. Robert, Michelle, and Steve are with us, and thanks very much for taking time out of your preparation to be with us.
Good to see you.
Glad to be here.
And here's an email we got. This is from Phyllis. To all candidates, how are you going to get us out of Iraq? When are you going to get us out of Iraq? And Robert Siegel, Democratic voters identify Iraq as one of their major issues. Is that going to be one of the big issues tomorrow?
Well, we're not quite prepared yet, Neil, to say what the big issues are. We're going to tell people at the beginning of the debate what three broad areas of questioning will be, and then we'll devote about 40 minutes to each of them. Each one of us will sort of be in charge, be the chair of that particular session. This is top secret, Steve, isn't it?
Absolutely. Although I'll tell you a nuance of some polling on this, Neil Conan, and it is that although voters consistently say Iraq is among the most important issues or the most important issue for them, voters in some polling here in Iowa have actually said this is the issue that they need to know the least about. They feel they know what they know, and they've made up their minds, and they want to know about other things. Robert did mention three subjects, so I think you can assume that at least two of them will be something other than Iraq, and we will delve deeply into some other areas of the candidates' positions as well.
We could tell you what they are, Neil, but we'd have to kill you.
Yes, absolutely.
On air.
Well, we'll wait till the program's over for that then. Michelle, you've actually acted as a moderator for a debate with the Democratic candidates, well, not so long ago. They've been asked a lot of questions already.
They have been asked a lot of questions, but, you know, amazingly, after all these debates, there are still many questions that they've yet to get to. The key, I think, in the debate that you're going to hear tomorrow is that we're going to hopefully spend enough time on a small number of subjects, just sort of three areas, that we can get to the third, fourth, and fifth question. And we believe that that's where things really get interesting. And that you haven't seen or heard that in many of the previous debates. It's been more of a lightning round with so many candidates and so many subjects that they try to cover. It's hard to really do the pushbacks and the follow-ups and the clarifications. I think you're going to hear much more of that tomorrow.
And a lot of the questions, or at least at some of the debates, seem to be on sort of the gotcha level of, you know, I know all three of you well, and that's all you care about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going for that. Is that a gotcha question?
That is a gotcha question.
And the cheaper the short soundbite, the better.
That's it.
It's a question. When you interview a single candidate one-on-one, I think obviously you want to pursue everything, every recent newsy event that concerns that particular candidate and get a comment. But when seven of them are sitting there together, as you know well from experience, I think the most important thing would be to hear them actually at some point debate. That would be interesting.
Seven. There are eight
Democrats.
Who's not going to be here?
Bill Richardson has a conflict in that, you remember, he was involved, and this goes way back to his days, I think in the Congress before he became ambassador to the UN, involved in repatriating the remains of GIs from the Korean War back to the U.S. And there's a burial, there's an interment for one of those Korean War soldiers whose remains were repatriated due to his, in part to his efforts. It just happens to be the same afternoon in Iowa, so he's going to be there.
We're getting questions from listeners, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But I know you've also been soliciting questions from listeners. What role will their emails play in tomorrow's debate? Steve?
They will be heard in some instances on the air. We've been calling some of the folks who've emailed us, and we've recorded their questions, and the candidates will be confronted with some of those. In other instances, we'll quote from them. In other instances, we may not say anything from the email at all, but it is informed, absolutely, what we ask. We've been reading, and in fact, I believe listeners can go to NPR.org and read themselves some of the questions that have come in, and we've been going through that list, and I think it will help us winnow the questions down. We're making the final choices, by the way. There have been debates about planted questions and so forth. If there is something wrong with the question, you can blame one of the three of us. We are making the decisions, but we're reading everything we possibly can as far as what listeners' interests and concerns are.
And we should say that we've also vetted the listeners. We've asked them about their backgrounds and
yeah, who are
and
you?
Their support.
Who do you support?
And I think I speak for all three of us here. We really have seen a greater appreciation for the listeners in looking at these questions. There are a number of, first of all, there's a large number of questions. They're smart. They're sharp. It's clear that people have been paying attention, close attention to the issues. And the questions are quite impressive.
Well, let's get a listener question here. This is Brian. Brian with us from Detroit in Michigan.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan
sure.
of the show.
Thank you.
This is a question I would love to ask both the Democratic and Republican candidates, but since this is about the Democrats, particularly Hillary Clinton, but I guess all of them. One of the things that was really apparent when George Bush came into power is he basically hired or appointed all of the same cronies that were in his dad's in administration and basically all the Republican administrations going back for several decades. I guess I want to know, who are they going to hire? Is Hillary going to basically surround herself by a bunch of people who've been on the inside for the past 10 to 20 years, and it's going to be more of the same? Or who is she going to appoint to be, in her advisory council, if you will? I just think that's a big part of the problem that we've had for the past several decades is that continuity of corruption, and I guess I want to know how they're going to answer that.
Steve?
Can't give you a full answer on who she's going to appoint, but I can tell you, Brian, that this is a question that will be addressed on NPR. Can't say whether it'll be in the debate, but our own political correspondent, national political correspondent Mara Liasson, is looking at the question of a Clinton dynasty and what that means, and I believe she'll be, barring other news developments, reporting on that in NPR's Morning Edition tomorrow.
I'd like to hear the other candidates answer that, too, but obviously for Hillary Clinton, it's particularly pertinent. I care about the issues. I care about their programmatic solutions, but all of that can change as soon as they're elected, and ultimately it comes down to who are they surrounding themselves with and what are they trying to get done.
Robert?
I would just add, Brian, that another way of saying I'm going to bring in all the same old tired hacks who used to be in the administration. Another way of saying that is I'm going to bring people who are experienced at actually making policy in Washington. So it's a question where you can see the glass either half full or half empty, the way you look at it.
It's also, Michelle?
I just was going to say that Brian's question also goes to something that I think many of us are hearing on the ground here. On one side, voters are talking about the dynastic nature of Hillary Clinton's candidacy, this sort of hopscotch Bush-Clinton, Bush-Clinton nature, and whether this would be sort of back to the future. On the other hand, if you listen to Barack Obama and look at the ads that he's running on television, it's all about change, that you're going to see sort of a new face and a new administration. Mm-hmm. So he's really keying into something we hear here.
Isn't this typically, though, an area, Brian, don't you think, that is left to presidents-elect, actually being able to offer jobs to people and saying, and you'll actually be offered this job?
Well, I think that's true. But, again, just from the, man-on-the-street voter perspective, we've been through this before where a candidate, promises to do X, Y, and Z and says, these issues are most important to them. And then they surround themselves with people who then go, take them off into a different direction. Whether the candidate-elect, is going willingly or not, sort of depends on the personality. And often you just kind of sit back and say, okay, here we go again. I'm gonna disengage.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Brian. Let's turn now to Christy. And if I'm pushing the buttons correctly, Christy joins us from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
Very
Hi,
well,
Christy.
Thanks.
Good. My question is about the housing crisis that we're in now. My family is in general contracting, and we've been seriously affected by the housing crisis right now. Right, we have five houses that are just sitting there, not selling at all. And my question for the candidates would be, how are they going to address this situation, not only to those that have defaulted on their loans, but those that have made their livelihood in this industry that are now floundering and facing bankruptcy?
Housing, the crisis has blown up rather late in this campaign as it continues to get deeper and deeper. Is that a subject that you, well, you're not going to tell us exactly what you're doing, but is this certainly a legitimate issue? Steve?
Oh, Christie is being legitimate, if anything.
That's Robert, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, please, Steve, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's a very serious issue. I don't know if we'll get to it tomorrow, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you, Neil. But obviously, this is a very serious issue. You can read about it in the financial papers as the liquidity crisis. But if you're in Christie's situation, or for that matter, if you're about to go delinquent on your mortgage, your language for it is a lot less delicate than that. This is a terrible situation, and no one seems to know just what the depth of the problem is at this point.
Yeah, can I do a little reporting here, Christie? Where are you?
Home. This is our livelihood as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been focusing on the people that have entered into these loans instead of the people that actually make their living in this industry that is going absolutely nowhere right now. And
where are the five houses?
These are
she's
in
calling
Boise,
us
Idaho.
Boise, Idaho, and they can't be sold at any price.
Oh, we have we've lowered the price so far that it's to the point where at this point we're going to cover our costs and the cost of paying the loan monthly that we have to maintain these houses outside of foreclosure. We will be making almost zero profit off of it. And that's our yearly income, that's one-fifth of our yearly income, just one home. So five homes, I mean, that's it. That's what we have.
One other question, again, in the construction industry, immigrant workers have often played a very large role. Is that your case there in Boise?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge part. And we do our best to make sure that everybody, all of our subcontractors, are doing everything legitimately. But at the same time, we've got so many costs on top of us that we have to go with those that, give us the lowest price bids for the work that they can do. And oftentimes that they are people that are hiring people that are not necessarily working here legally.
Okay.
It's kind of a conundrum.
We could probably throw health coverage in there, too, which is also a problem. But we'll move on. Thanks very much for the call, Christie, and good luck selling those houses.
Thank you, and y'all have a great day.
Our guests currently are Steve Inskeep, Michelle Norris, and Robert Siegel, the hosts of All Things Considered and Morning Edition, respectively. They're going to be the moderators of a debate of Democratic presidential candidates tomorrow, brought to you by NPR News and Iowa Public Radio. You're listening to a special report from NPR News. And let's see if we can go to an email. Here's a question. This from Tim. This is a question that no one is asking and clearly no one is answering. The U.S. is rapidly approaching the crossover point where there will be more retirees than employees. With a combination of Social Security and Medicare, the burden will be enormous. The solution has only a combination of three things. One, raise taxes. Two, reduce benefits. Three, a combination of one and two. What's the candidate's plan for this? Clearly an area that's on a lot of people's minds. Social Security broadly and retirement. Robert.
A very, very interesting set of questions. I'm not sure that the number of retirees will actually exceed the number of workers, but the ratio will decline to something, I think, in the ultimately about 2-1, which is not the ratio with which Social Security works well. But it's obviously a big question, and I think that among the Democrats, Obama has actually proposed lifting the cap on the FICA tax, on the Social mm-hmm. Security tax, and that's not a hugely popular position, but he says only 6% of the American public would pay more in Social Security taxes, and that's part of his approach. So, we start with that much information. I don't know what the others would say.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting when he says it also, he's basically saying a small number of people like me. So he personalizes it
yes.
by saying, I'm
yes.
willing to make the sacrifice. And
people whose income
too.
Is above $97,500 right now.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Leo, and Leo's calling from Chicago.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wanting to hear the candidates talk about the issues of neutrality and media conglomeration.
I'm sorry, repeat that. We lost your line there for just a second.
Oh, sorry about that. I wanted to hear what the candidates had to say about net neutrality and media conglomeration. And basically, this is an issue that I haven't heard discussed at all in the campaign so far. And I'd be curious to know whether the candidates would be willing to support legislation that would combat large-scale media conglomeration in America.
Mm-hmm. Do you work in the industry, Leo, or why does this concern you so much?
I'm trying to get into the industry, but that's not really related to my concern.
Okay. Steve Inskeep, media conglomeration. As you're talking about more and more outlets on the World Wide Web, that's what the FCC says, allows more radio and television and newspaper operations to be consolidated because there's so many more news sources today.
Well, obviously, the corporate media arranged for his phone line to be squashed a little bit so we could barely hear him. But we got a sense of the question anyway from Leo. That's a fair question. It may be a reasonable question to bring up in this debate or in some other forum. I really don't know what the candidate's stance is. So you have a good question there. It's something that interests me as a citizen because we have so many more, obviously, outlets for information because of the web now. But a lot of that information seems to be repeating the same statements that somebody reports again and again and again and again. And as people in the media, we often wonder about the mystery, if it is a mystery, or the conspiracy, when it is a conspiracy, that causes a fact, quote unquote, to get out there and get repeated forever, whether it's true or not.
All right. Yeah. Leo, I'm going to thank you for the call, Leo.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it very much. And Michelle Norris, I just wanted to ask you one final question. There have been a lot of complaints from some of the Democratic presidential candidates that they don't get as much time to talk as some of the other Democratic presidential candidates. Are you guys going to be making an effort to make sure that everybody has more or less equal time?
Well, we'll make sure that everyone is heard from. I'm not going to promise that they're all going to have equal time. And we will make sure that all seven candidates sitting here at this V-shaped table will be heard during the debate. But you hearken back to the brown and black debate over the weekend. There was an interesting moment where Representative Kucinich, Dennis Kucinich, felt like he wasn't getting enough time. And to ensure that he had enough time, he basically posed a question to himself. So,
thanks very much to the three of you, and the best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
Robert Siegel, Steve Inskeep, and Michelle Norris will be the moderators of a debate tomorrow at this time on National Public Radio, also contributing to the broadcast Iowa Public Radio. Today's program was produced by Susan Lund and Dahlia Martinez. Brendan Banaszak directed the program with Gwen Uten in Washington. Special thanks to Chris Nelson, Patrick Murray, and Rick Jarrett for their engineering and technical support. We'd also like to thank our partners at Iowa Public Radio, Todd Munt and Joyce Russell, and the Department of Cultural Affairs here at the State Historical Building in Des Moines. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Sue Goodwin is our executive producer from Des Moines, Iowa. This is a special from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.